Good morning, Hope City. It's good to see your faces. One more thing that I want to talk about. You might, if you come here often, you might be like, man, Hope City really really talks about giving a lot. And they really stress that. Here's something that I was thinking about over the weekend that you might not know. Hope City is part of the Assemblies of God Fellowship of Churches. And did you know that the Assemblies of God is the number one mission sending organization in the world? Number one. That means that they send the most people around the world to talk about Jesus and to make sure that people who otherwise would never get a chance to hear about Jesus get to hear about Jesus. And Hope City gets to participate in that. So Pastor Jason says it all the time, 10% of everything that you give here goes straight to missions, goes straight to making sure that people around the world can hear about Jesus. I heard somebody say recently, they said, I can't talk about the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Jesus. I can't talk about the gospel without talking about generosity. Right? And it's not just generosity in your giving. It's generosity in everything. A scripture that oftentimes gets memorized in churches is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Right? And it's not talking about money in that sense. Right? Generosity goes beyond your finances, but it includes your finances. And so when we give you this opportunity, we're giving you an opportunity to partner with Jesus in the same mission that God had when he sent his son. And that is the mission of generosity. And so as we go into this time of giving, I just want to pray over your finances. I want to bless your finances. And I'm up here this morning with like a new appreciation for this fellowship that we get to be a part of, right? We're number one in telling people about the gospel around the world. That's exciting. Jesus, thank you so much that we get to partner with you in your mission for generosity, in your mission for giving. God, I thank you that we get to partner with you just in this this mission to go after the lost, to go after people who might not otherwise hear about you. And I thank you that as we do that, as we partner with it, because it's close to your heart, because it's what you have in mind, then we get to see your blessing over every aspect of our life. So will you stretch us? God, there might be people in here that are already generous with their time, already generous with their heart, already generous with their home. But God, will you stretch us to be generous in one more way? In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, one more thing. I am so honored to serve under a pastor who believes in going after people, who believes in being in the middle of the mess, who believes in going after souls, whatever it takes. And if you are grateful to be coming under a leadership that just wants to love people at any cost, will you give it up for our lead pastor?
Thank you so much. We need to give it up for Pastor Cherie. She's doing a great job with our kids and youth. Seriously. And Pastor Avi with the worship. And Pastor Paula, I just, you know, tell them how much you appreciate them. I mean, to think what kind of a blessing we have in staff here, and they all are volunteer. So just so you know, I mean, so they put in so much, and we are just so appreciative. Well, I'm so glad to be home today. This week I was in Minneapolis. It was 8 degrees with a wind chill of -2. And I froze my hiney off, okay? Luckily, I brought a coat. Normally, when I travel, I don't bring a coat. You may not know this side if you've come to Hope City for a little while, but I'm on the road a lot sharing the story of Breakthrough. So John and I are speaking. This next month is going to be pretty busy. So if you'll pray, I would greatly appreciate it. We're going to be on the road quite a bit. And I'm also thankful. One of the things you might notice here is we have a teaching team. So it doesn't just rely upon me. We do that strategically because I think hearing from different voices is really good. And so They're going to be helping us a little bit, but in March is going to be busy. We just keep me in prayer. We're going to be all over the country sharing the story and busy. And I see that as an extension of us here at Hope City, where we get to share the incredible story of God's miracles. So it's really great, and I appreciate all of your prayers and everything you do to help move the mission forward. And if you're new to Hope City, I want to challenge you. You need to find a place to get involved. Get connected. This last Monday night, we had 18 people, 9 couples, where we did Valentine's Day, part of our life group. It was so much fun, all right? And listen, like, anybody could be a part of that, all right? Anybody could be a part. All you have to do is get connected to the life groups, find a place to serve, and I want to challenge you in that. I think it's just so important that we do get plugged in. So this morning, we are going to go on in Ephesians. We're teaching scripture by scripture. And I'm going to be talking to the guys today. So men in the room, boys in the room, guys in the room, I'm going to be talking to you, okay? And this is that next portion of scripture that Paul talks about. Last week, Paul did a great job talking about what a woman's role in marriage is. And I want to set this up because I think it's really important. In the world that we live in, there's been a lot of definition and redefining of family and all of these different things. And what we see is we see more brokenness than ever. Right? We can look around. Maybe you've come from a broken family where you're just like, I don't even know what a real, like, good marriage looks like. I don't know what that even plays out to be. Maybe your parents constantly were at odds with each other, and you just are like, and you've walked through a divorce, or you've lived in this situation. And it's interesting. I know that that's the case across the country, because you can look at all of the numbers today of people who are not getting married. They're waiting till way later. And I talk to people, and I say, well, why are you waiting? And they go, because I don't want to end up like my parents did, or I don't want to end up in a toxic relationship, or I don't want to end up like everybody else does. And I want to tell you something. We have to go back to God's word to figure out how this all works. We really do. And that has to be our standard as believers and as people in this world. If you're living by the ways of this world, I can tell you this, it brings a lot of brokenness. And so today, as we dig into this, last week Paula talked about what a wife's role is, that idea of submission. I was laughing the whole time. It was pretty funny by how she brought that up. But that idea where we come together and we figure that out. Now, some of you guys might be like, I'm not married yet. But I want to tell you, this is a super important to take notes of. It's super important to say, okay, this is what God's word says. As a man, what am I supposed to do? As a woman, what am I supposed to do? I mean, I'm not a woman. Thank God. 500 reasons why I'm glad I'm a guy, right? I'm glad, very happy to be a guy, and I'm very happy to be talking to the gentleman in the room today. But it was so good last week. It's really talking about doing marriage as a team, where we're teammates, where we're working together. And today, and I want to tell you something, women, the guys are going to have way more scriptures that Paul wrote than the women. I mean, the women had like 3, the guys have like 17, all right? And sometimes, guys, when we look at that and we start to dig through, it's like, I can feel so overwhelming. And here's what I want to ask you guys today, okay? Here's where I want to come. Guys, I don't want you just to listen here, but I'm asking you to open up your heart, okay? And sometimes that's hard to do as guys, because we're taught not to open our hearts. We're taught to keep walls around those hearts. But I'm telling you right now, to be the man that God's called you to be in your family and to be the leader of your family, we have to open our hearts up. Because it comes from an emotional level, not just a thinking level, well, I think I'm going to, and guys, we operate from there, and we also operate as compartmentalized. How many of you know that? We compartmentalize really good, and we can move on. Okay? And so what I'm asking you today is open up your hearts, listen to what God's saying, and I want to tell you this too. You can do this, guys. I want to encourage you, because sometimes, guys, it feels like, man, there's just such a long list of to-dos, and I feel like we can feel like we're failing. And I remember standing at the altar with Paula, right? And we were giving our vows, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I getting myself into? Can I really do this? And I felt like the Lord dropped in my heart, you can do this with me. Together we can do this. But if you're looking at this and you're going, man, I just feel like overwhelmed, and I feel like I'm walking through this and I don't know what to do. And guys, how many of you know we hate admitting that we don't know what to do, right? And the example of that is, how many of you ever look at a map? Oh, no, I know where we're going. Oh, totally. Or another one is when you do get those IKEA projects from hell, and you have all of those different like bolts to try to put together, and you're like, oh, I don't need directions. Oh, I'm just going to get into it. I can tell you this, I've done it wrong so many times. And Paul is sitting there going like, well, if you would have just listened, then you could have. I mean, we don't like like trying to get directions. We don't like having to try to follow the map until we have to. And so today, I want to encourage you. Let's put that all aside and let's go, okay, God, what are you saying to me? What are you speaking to me about? And like anything we talk about here at Hope City, I want to challenge you. We're going to talk about a good amount of things, but God, what's the next step you want me to work on? God, as a man, maybe you're not a husband yet, maybe you are a husband, what's the next step, God, that you want me to work on? And I think, I don't know about you, but it's so much easier to look at things one step at a time because it gets really overwhelming. And guys, I think we do this. We look at all the areas that we're failing and we throw our hands up in the air and go, we can't do it. So I'm just going to sit on the sideline. I'm going to sit and play video games. I'm going to sit and hang out. I mean, and I see that happening with guys a lot today where guys just feel like, man, we don't know what our role is in society. We don't know what we're supposed to be doing. So we just give up. We sit on the sidelines. And I want to tell you, today is not the day to sit on the sidelines. Because God gave us a plan of what we're supposed to do. The role that we're supposed to play. And so digging into this, I heard it said so well. When you're looking at marriage, oh, the other thing I wanted to say is women, ladies, hold your guys responsible and accountable for this kind of stuff, okay? Not to be like, oh, you just did it wrong, but hey, you can do this. Like, hey, like we talked about this. Like, and if you're looking for a mate, man, these are the things you're going to be wanting to look for, okay? And here's what I'm going to say, ladies. Like, guys don't magically appear like this, all right? Like, especially in the world. And I want to tell you, like, if they're not living it before you get married, chances are they're not going to live it when you get married, all right? And so I want to challenge you, if you haven't gotten married yet, be really careful on your choices and look at this on both sides, all right? So we're going to have some fun, though. I heard this said, and I think it's said so well. Marriage was not given to us to make us happy, but to make us holy. Write that down in your notes. Marriage was not given to make us happy, but it was given to us to make us holy, which means to become more like Jesus. How many of you guys know that's the truth? All of a sudden, you get married, and man, you start to learn what it's like to become more like Jesus, hopefully, right? There's an idea in the world that we live in, if I'm not happy, then I go get a divorce and we give up, right? How many of you said, well, I'm just not happy? How many of you have heard people say, I'm just not happy anymore, so I'm giving up? Marriage is not given to us to make us happy. It's given to us to make us holy. In our world today, people will end marriages by just saying that. Or we've fallen out of love, so our marriage isn't going to make it. Here's the bottom line. This all comes down to a choice, guys. It all comes down to a choice. You have to make a choice every day that you are going to make this work when it comes to a marriage, when it comes to working together as a couple. That's the bottom line. There are times in marriage it's very difficult and it can be very challenging. There's a reason why in the oath that we take and we pledge to our wives or we pledge to our husbands for better or for worse through sickness and in health. Those words are not just put in there for the fun of it. There are going to be times in a marriage where it's better and times when it's worse and sometimes when it's way worse. And that's where you have to stick in and you have to hold on. You have to say, okay, God, we're going to make through this. You choose to love your spouse. Love is a verb. It's not a feeling. And so that's why I want to tell you, when we talk about guys, how we become the men that God wants us to be in our marriages, we have to think about this perspective, is it all starts with our heart and loving. That's where it starts. It starts with how do we love? We have to love well. We have to make sure that we're loving our spouse. And love is a verb. It's not a feeling. Feelings are fleeting. If you live by your feelings, your life will be a roller coaster. I want to tell you, in this world where we're living by our feelings, everybody is living. You can feel one way one day the next day. Feelings are up and down and all over the place. The Bible tells us to never trust the human heart. What I look at with that is never trust what you're feeling at that very moment. That's where you have to take every feeling. You have to say, God, what am I feeling and how do I work through that? And especially guys, where I think we don't like to deal with our feelings, right? And I want to tell you, we need help to do this. So guys, we have an awesome guys life group that meets on Sunday at 5 p.m. And we want to help walk you through life together. And this is the stuff we talk about. So I want to encourage you, if you're not plugged into that, come and be a part here at the church. But if you live by feelings, your life is a roller coaster. For a marriage to succeed, we have to follow God's plan for marriage. I saw a meme this morning as I was looking through Facebook, and I thought it was so good. It said, Let me see if I can find it. Where's my phone? Because I don't want to forget it. My short-term memory is terrible. All right. Work with me here. I hope I saved it. I think it said this. A key to a long relationship is two imperfect people refusing to give up on each other. Isn't that good? Two imperfect people refusing to give up on each other. I also heard another quote. There's some great quotes on there in marriage. The British actor Sybil Thorndike was married to Sir Lewis Casson, another prolific actor. Their marriage was rather tumultuous at times, and after his death, she was once asked, "Did you ever think of divorce?" "Divorce, never. Murder, often." Even in the most challenging times of marriage, when we follow God's plan and direction and guidance, we can have an incredible marriage. But it's taking that back and taking that moment where we say, okay, God, what does your word say about my role in marriage? And guys, a good marriage doesn't just happen. It takes a little bit of work. It takes a lot of work. It takes getting off the video games. It takes focusing on each other. We also have a marriage life group that, man, it is just awesome. It meets on Monday night. So if you're in that process of getting married or you're already married and you're like, man, we want to get some more help on that, because I think you can't do this alone. And so when you look at this, I want to encourage you, get plugged into some of those resources to help you through this, because it really is a process. It's a process to become the man and the woman that God has called us to be and in these roles. So last Sunday, we kicked this off, and Ephesians 5:21 really is the theme verse to what we're talking about. It says this, "And further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." So when you look at Ephesians, Paul's saying this idea of submitting, not only in marriage, but also in society, submitting to one another, to come under each other. And I think it's really looking at doing life as a team. Like, how do we do this together? How do we do it as a family? And this idea of further submitting. So last week, Paul had talked about submitting, the scripture that talked about the wives submitting to the husbands as the church submits to Christ. And I thought it was so good. It's not a forced submission, but it's a coming under leadership, a coming under a covering, a partnership. After Paul speaks to women, he then moves on and really digs into, guys, what our role is. Paul speaks very clearly about what God expects us. And I said, guys, the ladies have 3 scriptures, the guys have 10 scriptures. Probably because we need it more spelled out. Like, help us to just make it clear, right? And how many of you, I've talked to you before, and you just said, I just want the bottom line, okay? Well, that's what God just did. He's given us the bottom line through Paul. How many guys just want the bottom line, right? We want to know it. Just give us the bottom line. What do we need to do? The bottom line. The bottom line, and that's what I gave this script, this message title today, is the bottom line. What do we need to do? First of all, you need to know you can do it. Guys, you can do what God has called you to do. You can be a man and be the man that God's calling you to be. Many guys are struggling with what it looks like to be a man, to live according to what God's word says. And as we read through Ephesians 5, 25 through 33, it may feel like a heavy load, but God created us to carry heavy loads, guys. We have shoulders to carry the load. I heard a great analogy from a pastor a while back. Guys are like empty pickups when we don't have a load. We're squirrely, right? Those beds of those pickups, man, you don't have a load in that back of that pickup. How many guys, you know, we're squirrely when we don't have a load on our shoulders, right? But the minute we get that load on our back, that minute that we get the load on our shoulders, it causes us not to be squirrely anymore and to become the man that God has called us to be. How many of you know, getting a pickup out of mud and you're squirrely is not going to happen, right? But for guys, when God puts that load, and it's not a load we have to carry alone, okay? Because I don't want you walking out here going like, oh, this is so heavy on my shoulders. Because God says, I'm going to be the yoke. I'm going to carry that with you, all right? We're going to carry it together. The problem is when you don't have God helping you to carry that load and you're carrying that load all on your own, that's, guys, when we get into trouble because it feels so heavy when we're trying to carry it on our own. And some of us we just like, man, I don't need any help to do this. I can do this on my own. And the truth of it is we can't do it on our own. We need God's help. And the minute that we realize that that it's not all about us, it's about us and God doing it together, I think that's a big realization. Guys, an attitude of submission is not only required from our wives in a marriage relationship. In fact, as the head of our home, which is what God calls us to be, the head of our home, the husband is to take the lead into submitting and serving the best interests of his wife and children. Here's the deal with that, guys. The pressures of this world are so great. A lot of guys feel like if they can just get through the day and make a living for their family, that's enough. But that isn't enough. God calls us to take it one step further, and he calls us to serve our wives and to love our wives and to be there for our wives. It's our responsibility. Guys, the load lies on our shoulders, and I think that's where we have to dig in, because it can be so exhausting. It can be so tiring. And that's where we dig in and we go, God, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Like, God, I need supernatural strength to be the man that you've called me to be the husband, to be the dad that you've called me to be. There are times in a marriage that can be very difficult, but it's also so worth it and so fulfilling. How many of you like Clint Eastwood, okay? You can't do a guy's sermon without Clint Eastwood. He said this. He said, they say marriages are made in heaven, but so is thunder and lightning. So guys, let's dig into this and find out what Scripture has to say. What's the bottom line? What do we need to know? What do we need to do? And if you've got your Bible, let's start at Ephesians 5:23. And point number one, we're called to be the spiritual leaders of our home. That's point number one. We're called to be the spiritual leaders of our home. Ephesians 5:23 says this, for the husband provides leadership for his wife, just as Christ provides leadership for his church. And I think we have to think of this in it as a team sport. We're a team. Husband and wife, we do it together. It's not one person bossing the other one around or lording over them. We're called to provide leadership in our home, guys. It's not our wife's job to lead the home. If they have to, they will, but that's not the role they've been given. It's our job. If you aren't leading in your home, your spouse will be forced to step up and lead. And so I want to challenge you, step up and be the leader. Some of us, we are like, man, I can't even lead myself. Like, I don't even know what to do. Like, I don't know what to do. And that's where I think we have to be so connected to God. What does a spiritual leader look like? A spiritual leader prioritizes his walk with God. Prayer time, reading the word, listening to God's voice. You set the tone for spiritual things in your home. There's so many guys that are on the sideline that let their wives do this. But I'm telling you right now, I want to challenge you guys. Be the spiritual leader in your home. Set that spiritual tone. You be the example. Your family's looking for you to lead the way, to be that example. How many of you, I heard it said a few times growing up, not from my parents, do as I say, not as I do. It's a bad, bad, bad way to live. How about do as I do? How about follow my example? You be the one to lead your families to church. Your wife and kids should not have to beg you, and your wife shouldn't have to get you out of bed to be here. You should be out of bed. You should get your kids here. The stat says 93% of dads that will go to church, 93% of their family, everyone in his family will follow if the dad goes. Dad, be the one. I also saw an interesting stat just as I was coming up on stage. It said this, there's a 0.00296 chance that your kids will ever make it to professional sports. But there's a 100% chance that they'll stand before the Lord. Get your kids to church. I thought that was so good. And we work to that too. We work for your kids to wake you up and go, Dad, we got to go. Get up. You be the spiritual leader. Dads and men, you play an important role in your family's spiritual growth. Put the needs of your wife and family above your own needs. A spiritual leader is mature and doesn't use his position to lord it over his wife. Guys, it takes a minute to get here. Okay? This is what we're targeting for. To be mature, to be that spiritual leader. This is what we're headed for. This is what we're looking for. And so as you're looking at this, I don't want you to look down the list and go, man, I'm just missing it here and missing it there. No, this is the process that we're starting. Okay, and it's a process. It's one step at a time. Nobody walk out of here and feel like, man, I'm just missing it in every aspect of my life. Because what happens when guys feel that way? We give up. So I want you to look at it and go, okay, what's the first thing I can start to work on? A spiritual leader means to protect and to build up. It means respecting and loving your wife, helping her to be the best that she can be. It means being a good listener and not always trying to be right or trying to solve things. Have you ever gotten into that? I don't know about you, but I'm a solver. I like to solve things and get it off my plate, right? That's what we like to do. And our wives go, I don't need you to solve it. I just want you to listen to me. Anybody ever experienced that? Right? And here I am, and I'm still working. I just want to solve it. Like, let's get it solved, and let's move on. But sometimes they just want to listen. Be a good listener. Try to communicate with like, communication's important. You initiate, you set good boundaries, and you stand firm where you need to. Like, dads, I'm going to tell you this. You're responsible for how your daughters leave your house. How they look, how they're dressed, right? Like, you know, guys, and there's been times where I've had to say to my daughters, nope, you're not leaving the house like that. Not very often, right? Audrey's giving me the eye. But seriously, guys, you know what other guys think. You know that, man, just you be responsible for your daughters and your sons as they're, and guys, it's not the sons are not the issue. It's the daughters stepping out. Like, just, hey, you know what? Be the leader. Set the tone for your home. Set the spiritual role as a leader in your home. Point number two, and this is where I think it gets into our heart, is we have to demonstrate love. Demonstrate love. Ephesians 5:25. And to the husbands, you are to demonstrate love for your wives. So it's not just enough to say, I love you. It's not just enough to go, well, you know, it's to demonstrate. So what does that mean? Guys, we're called to demonstrate our love for our wives and our families. We can't just talk about loving our wives. We have to demonstrate it. What kind of love did Paul have in mind when he wrote this? I think it's the love that when you look at it, it's a verb. It's constantly making a choice to love your spouse and your family over everything else in your life. Now, do you hear what I said? That's a choice. And so when you find yourself in this spot where you're having trouble loving your wife over everything else and loving your kids over everything else, that's when you have to stop and say, God, help me. Help me to love the way that you've called me to love. Because this whole thing is, you know, when you look at Ephesians 5, the whole perspective of that is based on how Jesus loves the church, how Jesus loves all of us. The progression is that we demonstrate our love for God, our love for our wives, and our love for our children. Love's a verb. And I got to tell you this. There's a lot of guys that if you were to sit down with them, you may feel like nobody loves you. And you may feel unlovable. And guys, when I'm talking about getting down to the heart of what we're talking about here today, sometimes we don't like to go there. We've compartmentalized it. But I'm going to tell you this. If you feel unlovable, you're never going to be able to love your spouse and your kids the way that God's called you to love. If you look in the mirror and all you see is everything that's wrong, all you see is every place where you fail, and you probably don't talk about it much because most men don't, but I'm telling you right now, that's a point where you need to say, Jesus, I need to know what you think about me. I need to feel how much you love me. Because I think a lot of spouses, a lot of husbands have trouble loving because they feel unlovable. And I'm telling you right now, you are not going to be able to love the way that God wants you to love until you first feel his love in your heart. Until you see how God sees you. The best way to understand the kind of love I'm talking about, and this scripture, every time it could be a checklist of how to love better. 1 Corinthians 13:3-7, it says this, if I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Friends, there are times in our marriages where the love bank is bankrupt. Because we're not showing the kind of love. Guys, you wonder why you're having trouble with your wife and trouble in that relationship. I want to ask you, how much have you filled her love bank? With the love languages, how much have you spent time loving the way that God has called you to love? And so this is what that looks like. What is love? Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of love, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Will you take that, guys, and make that your checklist? How am I doing in these areas? Take once a month, sit down over this scripture and go, how am I doing with these areas? Do I have a swelled head? Guys, we can get prideful. I mean, it's true. We can look at ourselves and, man, look what I'm doing. Look at how good I am, right? These questions really walk you through those moments of, okay, God, what do you want to speak into me? And these are some tough questions, right? There's some questions that we have to get from here down to here and say, God, okay, what's going on inside of my heart? But I want to tell you, if you love, like 1 Corinthians 13:3-7 says, that's the kind of love that we're talking about. And do you see how many action words there are there? It's not just butterflies. Those butterflies go away very shortly after you're married. After the honeymoon period, you're like, whoa. And that's where you decide, God, I'm making a choice to love my wife. And that's where true love starts to happen. Because love is a verb, right? Well, I just don't feel those anymore. I feel like I don't feel the butterflies. You're not supposed to, because true love is a verb. Yes, it's great to feel that way. And maybe some couples in here after 20 years of marriage, you feel those butterflies still today. Thank God for that. But for most of us, it's, okay, God, I'm choosing to love this person. I'm going to make that choice. And I think that's where powerful things happen when we make that choice. Guys, there's a lot of words in here that will cause us to go, okay, we got to think different. Point number three is this tender devotion. Tender devotion. So we're talking about love. We're talking about tenderness. Guys, some of us were not known as being very tender. I can tell you that's not my strength, so I have to work on that. I'm not very tender. Sometimes I'll say things, or I'm like, oh, man, again, I bitter, upset, right? The tenderness that comes with this. Listen to this. Paul goes on in Ephesians 5:25-26. With the same tender devotion that Christ demonstrated to us, his bride, for he died for us, sacrificing himself to make us holy and pure, cleansing us through the showering of pure water of the word of God. Jesus demonstrated his life by sacrificing. I'm telling you right now, marriage is a sacrifice. And if you haven't learned that, it's going to be a battle. Marriage is a sacrifice. He also demonstrates tenderness. You know how I think he best shows us tenderness? When we get what we don't deserve. Because if we got what we deserve, man, it'd be a different story, right? How many of you know, like, if you get what you deserve, like, none of us deserve eternal life. None of us deserve God's goodness. But he does it because he loves us. Tender devotion. And God always deals with us tenderly. He'll speak to you. If you'll listen, he deals with you tenderly. And dads and men and husbands, let's deal with our wives and our children tenderly. Let's show them Jesus on how we tenderly deal. Does it mean you're not going to make mistakes? You are, because we are human. But what does tenderness mean? Tenderness means to show gentleness and concern or sympathy. Devotion means to love, to be loyal, to be enthusiastic for a person, activity, or a cause. Guys, we are not meant to be rough with our wives. We're not meant to be rough with our children. We're meant to love them. We can discipline them. I've ran into so many people who said, yeah, I had a son, and my job was to just make him tough. No, no. Let's teach our sons to be tender. Let's teach our sons to be gentle. And it doesn't mean we don't teach them how to be men, but I think that's what God's calling us to be when it comes to be men of God and it comes to be the man that God's calling us to be. We're tender. We're devoted. Men, we're called to love our wives by showing gentleness and concern for them. We're called to be devoted to our wives. The fact that God calls a husband to love his wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it is an extreme challenge. And being tender can be a challenge, especially if you have walls around your heart. Especially guys, if you've never had anyone that's been tender with you. There's that point where we say, okay, God, show me what that looks like. To succeed and be the husband God's called you to be, it's going to require tender devotion. And wives in the room, please deal with your husbands tenderly. Give us some slack. We're working. We're trying. You know, sometimes it's like, right, we feel like here's the list of all we're doing wrong and we kind of just want to give up. So it is good to say, hey, you're doing this. Like take a few moments and just say, man, thank you for when there is a win. Thank you for being tender. Be tender with your husbands. And don't miss it. God's word plays a big part in all of it. It's why it's so important to be in his word. Point number four, and this is a hard one for guys to get. It's not all about you. We say that it's not all about me. Nobody wants to say it. Say it. Hey, you know, it's not all about me. Paul goes on in Ephesians 5:27-30. And all that he does in us is designed to make us a mature church for his pleasure until we become a source of praise to him. Glorious and radiant, beautiful and holy, without fault or flaw. Husbands have the obligation of loving and caring for their wives the same way they love and they care for their own bodies. For to love your wife is to love your own self. No one abuses his own body but pampers it, serving and satisfying its needs. That's exactly what Christ does for his church. He serves and satisfies us as members of his body. When men and women get married, they become one. And I kind of debated to go here, but I'm going to go here. This, I think, is one of the biggest problems that we have in our society. And I'm not telling you what to do. I just want you to, I want to lay it out. You have to decide. It's between you and God. But this idea that friends with benefits, things that like sex has no cost, like everybody, you can just sleep with people, it's no big deal, right? Or like, I'm going to sleep with my wife before I get married. I'm telling you right now, premarital sex is a big deal. And here's why. I'm not telling you, like, somebody's ringing, somebody's calling, God's calling somebody. Here's what I want to tell you, okay? And if this has happened in your life, I'm not coming down on you at all. Okay? This is not a come down. This is a be careful word because God can heal you. But it's interesting, 85% of marriages that started with premarital sex end in divorce. So you have to work hard to overcome that. And when I look at that, the Bible says that we become one flesh. So when you come together with somebody in that manner, you become one flesh. God set it up that way. Because it's so powerful. It's so, there's not a bigger tie in the world than that moment. And what happens is that person takes a piece of our heart every time that happens. And I think as you look at this idea that, you know, that there's no cost to having sex outside of marriage, there's a big cost. And I want to challenge you because every time that happens, a piece of your heart gets taken, and you become more broken. And I think what happens is that brokenness comes into the marriage relationship, and you have to get it healed. That brokenness. And so God can do it, but when you're looking at it and you're outside of marriage, I want to challenge you, follow God's plan, because it's so much better when you do. And like I said, if you haven't, now's the day to say, okay, from here on out, and God will forgive. He'll set you free, and he'll move you forward to where he wants you to be. And so when I look at that, I think that's such an important aspect of when we talk about coming together as one. Once it happens, when we come together as one, in fact, there's an interesting study out, and it was in Germany where they did a study on women that had had sex with other men, and they still carried their DNA in the bloodstream. So interesting when you look at that. So as you come together as one, there's something that happens, and we become one. In fact, Paul tells us we're obligated to love and our care for our wives the same way we love and care for our own bodies. None of us are going to starve our bodies. None of us are not going to take care of our bodies. And so when you look at that kind of love, that's the kind of love. Love your wife. Love your partner. Like the concept that we're talking about here, like you love yourself. And now, again, I go back to this idea that if you don't love yourself, it's going to be hard to love your spouse the way that God's calling us to love. And I think that's a key to some of this is you're broken, you're not loving yourself, and this is this moment where you got to go, God, I need help to love myself so I can love others. I can love my spouse, no others. My spouse, like you've called me to love that person. Scripture says that no one abuses his own body but pampers it, serving and satisfying its need. And I love what the NLT says. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. Loving our spouse like this goes against human nature. It goes against what we're taught in the society. We're taught to be selfish, but we have to break out of this to really understand what Paul is saying. Paul and I have been married for 26 years. And it was because we said, listen, we are, and it's shocking. I tell people that, and they're like, oh, that's such a long time. But in our society, it kind of is. I'm like, but we chose. Every day we make a choice. to love each other. We make a choice that we're going to stay together. If you don't know who you are, though, in God, and you don't have an identity, it's hard to love yourself, and therefore it plays out in not being able to love your spouse. Guys, maybe you're afraid to love the way that God called you to love, but I want to tell you, let the walls down and ask God to help you. Some of you, again, it might be going back to this moment where you're like, man, I didn't have an example of what it means, what it is to be a dad or to be a husband. I didn't have an example. I don't know what it even looks like. And that's where we have to come back to these moments and say, okay, God, teach me. Teach me to know what it looks like to be the man that you've called me to be the husband that you've called me to be. And in those areas where you're hurt, I mean, especially whenever families walk through divorce, and guys, we see the hurt and the pain. We can, if you walk through that as a child, it can be such a painful moment where you need to be healed up so that it doesn't happen. Just because your parents got a divorce doesn't mean you're going to have to get a divorce. You hear me? Just because your parents walk through that doesn't mean you're going to have to walk through that. But what I want to challenge you is to take it back to here and say, okay, God, how do I become the man that you've called me to be? And that's why it's so important. We need brothers that are going to walk beside us. And so when we talk about the men's life group, and I talk about that a lot, and it is fun, but it's also because I know guys need people who are going to walk beside us, who will help us to learn, because we can't do it on our own. How many of you, like, I admit, like, I don't know how to do this without God's help. I don't know how to be the man that God called me to be. So even as your pastor, I'm sitting here saying, man, I need God's help. Like, I'm learning every day what it looks like. None of us are perfect. So let's all get into this spot where we can say, hey, let's learn from each other. Let's become better men. Let's become better husbands. Let's become better better dads. And as we wrap up this portion in Ephesians, we're left with this idea in Ephesians 5, 31 through 33. For this reason, a man is to leave his father and his mother and lovingly hold on to his wife, since the two have become joined as one flesh. I think this is a very important message to parents, okay? When your child gets married, your job's not to hold on to them anymore, but your job is of their spouse. And in a society where we're living, where parents love to parent their kids into 25, 26, 27, they do not need a helicopter parent being a part of their marriage. It makes it a lot harder. So just push them toward their spouse. That's what Scripture says. Since the two have become joined as one flesh, marriage is a beautiful design of the Almighty, a great mystery of Christ and his church. There's some mystery to being married. We're not going to ever figure it all out, probably. So even a married man should be gracious to his wife just as he is gracious to himself, and every wife should be tenderly devoted to her husband. So the bottom line, guys, you can do this. You can do this. Bottom line is, you're going to make it. If you'll dig in and say, okay, God, that's what my role is. That's the position I play on the team. And God, you're going to help me to do it. But guys, I'll tell you this. If you're closed off to God and you think you can do this on your own, you're not going to become the man that God's called you to be. We got to have help. We do. And it's okay to say it. We've got to look at the roadmap that God's put in Scripture for us. We have to get with other guys who will help us to the iron sharpening iron and get honest. I mean, it's easy to get 90%, but the final 10% of the truth. If you're walking through things where you look at yourself and, man, you don't like yourself. You're looking in the mirror going, man, I don't like what I see. You need God to redefine you, men. And when we look at our identity, guys, here's the thing. A lot of times our identity gets wrapped up in what we do. If I sit down with guys, a lot of times I'll say, so who are you? I'd really like to know who you are. And they go, well, I do this. This is my job. Now, I don't want to know what you do. I want to know who you are. I want to know you, not what you do. And I think sometimes we can even get confused with that in our lives. Like, man, if I just bring my paycheck home to my wife, everything's good. And no, they need more than that. They need you. They need you. It's easy to bring the paycheck home and say, here you go. It's a little bit harder to say, okay, here's me. And that's what God's calling us to do. I don't know if this has been helpful today. I hope it has. It's been quiet. Guys, are you with me? See you tonight at 5 o'clock, gentlemen. You're like, man, I got to get this figured out. We're here to help, all right? We're here to help, and we have a great time. But seriously, that's the reason I mention it is because I'm like, guys, we need to get together. We'll figure it out together. We'll work it out together. All right? So you're not walking this alone. We love you so much. And guys, I love you. I'm proud of you. I want you to know that. The guys that are here at Hope City, you can do this. We can do it together. All right? And that's the thing. I want you to walk out going, I can do this. Like, God has given me the tools. He's given me everything I need. You can do this. And in this season where we're talking about being stuck and getting into cycles, if you're stuck right now and you can't see how to do it, come talk to me. If you feel like maybe you're just in the cycle of where things go really good and then they go really bad, and it's just, come talk to us. We want to help you through that. And that can happen in our marriage too. We can get stuck being married in a good way. We can get stuck though. We can get feel like in our marriage it's a cycle. We want to help you break through that. I want your marriage, when you look back on your life, I want your marriage to be the best thing that ever happened to you, not the worst. Some of us were afraid of that is because we've looked at our parents and it was the worst ever. But I'm telling you, it can be the best. Question is, are you going to follow God's plan or are you going to try to do it on your own? Because when we try to do it on our own, we mess it up. Just like the IKEA bed frame that I tried to put together and all that other IKEA junk, all right? Which I love IKEA. I'm not picking on them. But it's, the battle is real. It's a curse. All those little, yeah. You hate that furniture by the time it's done. I'm going to pray for you guys. I want you to walk out. Gentlemen, men in this room, you can do it. Hear me. You can do this. And God wants you to know that. In fact, as I was praying for the sermon this week, one of the things the Lord told me over and over again, tell the guys they can do this. Tell them, with my help, you can do this. And you need to hear it. If you feel like you're failing and you failed, maybe you're sitting here with a broken marriage and you're going like, I don't know how it happened and I feel like I failed. You can do it. God can help you put this back together again. Hear me when I say it. You can do this. And those are the direct words I heard from God over and over every time I prayed. Gentlemen, you can do this. You got this with God's help. So where you feel like maybe you're failing, and guys, I don't know about you, and we're going to wrap this up because I could talk to you forever. But when we feel like we're failing, what does it mean we give up? How many guys like to fail in the room? Not one of us. And when we feel like we're failing and we feel like we can't do it, we throw our hands up in the air. And I feel like there's some guys in the room today, you've thrown your hands up in the air and you just go, I don't know how to do this. I've given up. And God's saying, get back in the game. I want to help you. He loves you. He loves your family. He wants you to have the best marriage that you can have. It's the biggest blessing in this world. Some of you are looking at your marriage going, that's not what it feels like right now. But I want to tell you, when you start moving in God's direction, guys, and you become the man and the women and you follow His, it can be the best experience of your life. And listen, I never, ever, when we're talking about this stuff, if you've made mistakes, I'm not here to beat you up. You've already been beaten up. I'm here to encourage you. Like, hey, that doesn't have to be what it is this time. Don't look at the past. The past is ancient history. All you have to worry about is the present. Don't even worry about the future, because it takes you from living right now. You're right now in this moment. What are you going to do? Don't look at the past. Some of you, I just sense, and again, I'm going to wrap it up, but I got to say this one last thing. Some of you feel like, I'm never going to be worthy to find the person that God has for me. That's a lie from the enemy. God has somebody for you. And it's going to be good. So let's pray. Father, right now, I thank you, God, that you've given us such a great plan. Lord, you created marriage. You created the family. Lord, and in a world that we're living in that is trying to do everything it can to tear down the family, Lord, there's families here today, God, that are victorious. They're strong. There's families that are walking through some challenges. But God, let us all remember that family was your idea. Husband and wife was your idea. Lord Jesus, wherever we find ourselves today, God, I just pray that everyone in this room would feel your love. God, that they would feel your presence right now. God, that whatever we're walking through, whatever we're facing, whatever we see, God, whatever's going on in our relationships, God, that you would walk us through those. Lord, for the men in this room that feel like they're failing, God, I pray you just send a spirit of encouragement today. And Lord, for the wives that are maybe connected to those men that feel like they're failing, God, I pray you'd give them words to start to encourage them. I think the first step to all of this, if you've never given your life to Jesus, it's a very first step. And you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never done that. The Bible says we've all sinned, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And if that's you today where you'd say, man, that is me. I need to surrender my life. I need to give my life over. If that's you, the Bible says it's so easy. Confess with our mouth, believe in our hearts. If that's you, will you just slip up a hand right now? Is there anybody in this room? Can I have all the guys stand up? If you're a guy in the room, I want you to, will you just stand? Father, you see all the men that are standing right now. Guys, will you just lift your hands in the air for just a moment? I just want to pray, God, that he would just pour out his spirit upon you. Lord, right now, for all the guys in the room, Lord, as they're looking at what you've called them to do, Father, I just pray, Lord, that right now you would give them a spirit of peace. God, I pray that you'd give them a spirit of strength. God, I pray that you would begin to speak to their hearts. God, I pray that they would be tender towards you and tender toward their wives, Lord, and maybe the future wives that are coming, God. Lord, right now, I just pray, God, that you would help them. Lord, help them to look at what your word says and become the men that you've called them to be. Lord Jesus, such a perfect example of your love. God, I pray you'd pour out your spirit on the guys in the room here today. Lord Jesus, it seems like sometimes it's an overwhelming task. Lord, to be a husband, to be a dad. Lord, to carry on a job. Lord, all of the things that happen in life. And Lord, right now, I just pray for all of the guys that they'd lift that load that's on their shoulders and they'd partner with you, Father. Lord, that the load would be shared, God, because your word says that your load is easy and your burden is light. And God, as we share that together, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'd remind every one of these guys that they can do it. They can be the person that you've called them to be, Lord. And God, today, I just pray for every family that's represented here today, God. Lord, I pray that, God, that you would create such a strong team in these families. God, that we'd look at our spouses, that we'd look at our children, and Lord, it would be this idea of just coming together in such a beautiful harmony. God, there's marriages in this room. There's not beautiful harmony. In fact, it's war. Father, today, I just pray, God, that you would come into these situations and, Lord, that you'd begin to move in a powerful way. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you so much. Thank you for being here today. Can't wait to see you next week. God bless you. Walk in victory. Guys, you can do this. We'll see you next week.